Have you ever had kids who have more or less said, I want my freedom. I want my freedom. I'm grown up. I want to do what I like to do. It's a little hard to let some of the control go, but we have to let some control go as they grow up and mature because they have to learn to stand on their own two feet. And sometimes that means learning from their mistakes. How many of us have never made a mistake before? Yeah, don't raise your hand. Okay, I know a few of us never have, but I'm not sure what or where. Freedom, though, comes at a high cost. It just doesn't like show up and all of a sudden we can do whatever we want. To be able to do what we want, there's always some kind of control. In fact, law helps us know the extents of our freedom. If there is no law, somebody's freedom is taken away, isn't it? Someone's rights are violated if someone else just does whatever they want. And that's why we have laws. Now, sometimes laws can become oppressive. But if they are just laws, they will enhance and provide and support our freedom. I want to look at a passage this morning that talks about freedom. Freedom that comes in Christ from Galatians chapter 5. This is a wonderful passage that comes in a challenging letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to the churches of Galatia. Galatia was part of what we now know as Turkey. It wasn't just the church in Galatia, but there were scattered churches. And Paul wrote a letter that was intended to go to several different places within that Roman province of Galatia. This church was bothered by people who came in and were preaching you had to be circumcised. You had to become a Jew first before you became a Christian. And they were putting a heavy burden of law upon the shoulders of the Galatians. Paul calls them Judaizers. They are trying to Judaize, to make Jewish the Christians. And Paul says, hey, no way. Don't let the burden of the law take away your freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. By faith we eagerly await, through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you in confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, I am still preaching. If I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Paul. That's probably the roughest spot in the whole Bible there. But anyway, we'll pass over that verse today. He was kind of losing his temper when he was writing this letter a little bit. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. In the year 1215, this is important, high school students, so note this. You'll need to know this someday. June 15th, 1215, what was signed? Anyone know? The Magna Carta. Well, I didn't know that either. I remember reading that someplace. The Magna Carta, or also known as the Magna Carta Libertatum, or the Great Charter of the Liberties of England. It was the first document that imposed on the King of England a set of laws that said that the king did not have absolute authority, that he too had to live by a set of laws. It was viewed as something that gave people tremendous freedom by protecting their rights. As Christians, we have a lot to be thankful for because of our freedom, our political freedom, and our spiritual freedom. Think of our political freedom, first of all. All freedoms come at a cost. Freedom does not just like show up and it's like, oh, yeah, we can do whatever we want. No, the problem is there are a lot of sinful people out there. There's a lot of fallen people out there who destroy the freedoms of other people. And if those fallen, sinful people are not controlled, someone is going to suffer. And it's usually the innocent who suffer from the hands of those who want their own way. We can also think of our spiritual freedom today. We have freedom from and freedom to. Let's think about that in two ways. Freedom from. What are we free from as Christians? Well, one obvious thing is the weight of concern and disappointment. We all have disappointments and concerns. I have had a big disappointment this week, and it had to do with Joel's car. Went to paint it on Friday, and I spent all this time taping these nice stripes, so I painted this white stripe. It's going to look cool when it's done. And then I went to spray the blue paint, and it curled on me. It means I have to sand the roof, well, we started it, and the hood, every place where I sprayed white. There's some kind of incompatibility with the white paint. And I just kind of went, oh, I spent all these hours and hours doing this and prepping it. How long have we been prepping this car? Months and months and months. We've been fine-tuning it and sanding it and fixing all these bumps and rust spots and everything. And then I blow it in like 2 minutes. Well, we all have disappointments like that. Some are really significant disappointments. You know, we get that prognosis from the doctor that's not good. We lose that job that we've been trying to get. We have that bill come and we have no money to pay for it. We have that loved one who has some kind of problem and we can't deal with it. We have a lot of disappointments part of life. But with the Lord with us, there's a kid song I used to sing. I don't know if I ever taught you this, but with the Lord in my vessel, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With the Lord in my vessel, I can smile at the storm as my ship goes sailing home. And it goes a little bit more. I like that simple song because it tells me when the storms of life are around me, with the Lord with me in my vessel, I can smile at them because no matter if they sink my ship, I know where I'm going, right? So no worries. Let's not let the world's disappointments pull us down. Also, we don't have to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's what Paul talks about in verse 1. Don't let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What kind of slavery would Paul have been talking about here? Part of it involved slavery to the law. There's a lot of people who struggle with the expectations due to religion. Religion is a huge burden to people. They think, oh, I've got to do all these things. And they think that Christianity is all about law and a bunch of do's and don'ts. I think there's no way I can do that. Well, true. No way any of us can do it. We are not here because of a religion. You know, if we're here for religion, we're just a bunch of Pharisees. Jesus criticized the Pharisees because they made their faith all about religion. Rather, we can see our faith as a relationship. And that's where Paul's heading here. It's loving God and loving other people. Paul says, don't let yourself be burdened by this yoke of the law. It's enough to kill anyone. These Galatians were wanting to be circumcised because these Judaizers were coming in and teaching them this. And Paul says, if you do that, you're taking on yourself a burden that no one else has ever been able to carry. No one. Well, in our holiness movement, we have a problem, or at least we're sometimes labeled with a problem of perfectionism. Oh, we're holy people. We've got to do all this and don't do that. We've got this long list of do's and don'ts. Oh man, that's enough to kill any of us spiritually. Paul says, don't let perfectionism destroy your faith. It leads to slavery. There's another slavery that Paul talks about, and we talked about it last week, and that's a slavery to sin. Sin traps us, and it binds us, our habits, our choices, and soon we're stuck. Too many Christians walk around unhappy. You know, they don't smile. They're like, it's like, man, what's eating at you? You know, you just kind of see that on people, and it's like their shoulders are slumped, and they're just like, I'm not happy in life. Christians should be the happiest people in life. Paul says, don't let those burdens, sin, legalism, all of that bury you, pull you down. Don't let the world entice you with its freedoms. It says, oh yeah, you can do whatever you want. Just come over here. You can do whatever you want. You'll be happy. Just like Pinocchio. Remember that story? And what the circus guy? I'm trying to remember. I can't remember if he had a name. But the circus guy says, oh, Pinocchio, come over here. You can do anything you want. Or you can go to here and play with all the toys and all this stuff. And pretty soon, what has Pinocchio become? A trapped donkey. You know the story, or you can go read it again. Don't live by the expectations of the world, but live by the freedom that the Holy Spirit gives us. If we don't want to obey, we don't have to obey to be acceptable to God. God loves us anyway. Whoever we are, God's love is unconditional. But that doesn't mean we can go live any way we want. Why? Because we love God back. And we love him so much that we're going to do what he wants us to do. The problem in the early church was that Christians were abusing their freedom. They were thinking, oh, if I go out and sin, yeah, God loves me anyway. He'll forgive me anytime I want. So I can just go out and have a heyday. You know, Monday through Saturday, I can just go out and live any way I want. I can just go in on Sunday and do my little confession, have my little prayer, and I'm fine. God will forgive me, guaranteed. Paul says, hey, you are totally misunderstanding God's grace. And Paul will go on in this chapter to talk about the acts of the flesh. In verses 19 through 21, quite a long list here. The things that people do to satisfy themselves. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And then Paul says, the consequence, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we go out and we have a heyday the rest of the week, Paul says some pretty strong words here about us. Now we may say, oh yeah, you know, I don't do all do some of these really bad things that Paul has in this list. And this list is not complete. Paul says in a roundabout way, he says, etc. at the end of this. Everything's on the same level in this list. We quickly condemn one thing, but not the others. Well, Paul says you can be free from those things, but let's think about what we are free to. We are free to embrace a new life. And this is a life marked by a new lifestyle, a life marked by happiness. Notice what the Spirit produces in us, these fruits of the Spirit. And so if we are free in the Spirit, what is the result? Love. Who doesn't want love? Joy. You want joy, don't you? I do. You know, I've had enough disappointments in life. I want to be happy, joyful. But this is a joy that comes deep within. Peace. The world is crying out for peace. Patience. I need that. I won't give you details, but I need patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What a wonderful exchange from that burden to all of these wonderful attributes that the Holy Spirit will teach us. We will have a new outlook on life. The joy of obedience without the burden of the law. We can obey God out of love and joy and not out of this burden that we just carry because we got all these do's and don'ts of religion carrying. Oh, what a heavy load. No, we're free in Christ. And because of that freedom, we serve God wholeheartedly and we obey Him out of love. The only way to truly find freedom is to give yourself away in love. And the only way to truly give yourself away in love is when you are free. St. Augustine said it this way, love and do what you want. Love and do what you will. In other words, if you love, then you can do whatever you want. Because if you love God, you're going to obey Him anyway. And it's a freedom that comes from love, not a freedom or a love out of an obligation and burden. Verse 14. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. True freedom comes when we love one another. And this love will produce the other fruit. The first fruit is love. Some people have said that everything else is just a reflection of love. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love experienced in joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. This freedom comes through the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Spirit produces in our life as we yield to Him. True freedom is experiencing the Spirit's power as we are transformed from the inside out. We're not under law, we're not under sin, but we are free to embrace the way of the Spirit. The key to freedom is whether we have to do the work ourselves to escape punishment or whether we accept what our Heavenly Father has given to us and He is here to help us. So we can do it under this burden of the law or we can do it out of this receiving of grace. Boy, I'd rather do it the way of grace than try to do it on my own. But we should remember, finally, that freedom comes at a cost. Look at verse 1 again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. There is a lot in that little phrase. What did Christ do to set us free? Just like many of those who came before us, He gave His life that we might be free. The cross makes freedom possible. Since we are redeemed by Christ, we walk in His ways. How can we experience this freedom that Paul is talking about in this chapter? Well, one way is to keep the gospel of Jesus Christ central to our lives. And remember that this gospel is all about grace and love. Remember, don't get sidetracked or derailed by other preoccupations in this world. There are important things we have to do, no doubt. We have to work, we have to take care of our families. All those things are important. But the central thing must be the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we keep our eyes on that, everything else will be in perspective. Second, verse 24, towards the end of the chapter. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Crucify the desires of the flesh. That means don't let them control you. Put them away. Take them out of your life. Cut them out. Crucify them. Be done with them. Don't let that old person try to control you anymore. That person is gone. And finally, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Walk in obedience of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide us. will lead us, will speak to our hearts. No doubt you've heard the Holy Spirit today through the words of Scripture. And as we hear the Spirit, and as we sense the Spirit speaking to our conscience, telling us, you know, that's not the best choice to make. Maybe you ought to stay away from that. Maybe you ought to go and do this instead. You know, don't think that. You know, all those voices that the Holy Spirit will prompt into our conscience. Obey those, and those will lead to freedom in Christ, not a trap and a burden. For us as Christians, we are celebrating a deeper freedom because it came at a higher price. It came at the price of God's own Son coming and releasing us from the bondage of slave. We are redeemed. I like the word redeemed. You can do a word study on that sometime. But we have been bought. We have been purchased at a price. As Paul says, you have been purchased at a price. Therefore, honor God with the way that you live.